Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Michelle and I live from Nashville, Tennessee, here in our 102.5 The Game studios, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And Joe Rex Road down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Lots of weather down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi this weekend, but Joe is alive and well and looking great. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, doing just great. You know, I should probably keep it down because the Tennessee baseball team is all around me in this courtyard in Hattiesburg trying to sleep, having found out at 3 a.m. that they play tonight. I just found out when I woke up.
It's just beautiful. They play, I believe, 5 o'clock tonight is the game time. They own Central Time down there in Hattiesburg, or like does Brett Favre have like his own clock system down there?
Yeah, I think it's Central Time, and yeah, it looks like a really, really prime time for thunderstorms. So, very much appreciate that some TV exec dweeb sitting in a desk in Disney World can just, you know, sit there and make decisions and not consider any other factors or you know, consider what that does to people. Like, for example, a coach who last night had no idea if his team was going to play at 11 a.m. or 8 p.m. today. And just, you know, I guess just, all right, guys, just try to, you know, get to bed at a decent time and we'll see what we're doing tomorrow. Brilliant.
Just absolutely brilliant. So tell us what your weekend's been like down there in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Well, yeah, again, I bet you today we'll see some more. We had a really nice Saturday of sitting around with the rain. And somehow, like, the NCAA reps here were, like, adamant that they needed to get this game in, you know. Like, they wouldn't just call it at like, 7 o'clock. And, it, like, and they were telling people, a couple people who hung around, they're like, hey, we're going to get this in tonight. And everybody's like, no, you're not going to get this in tonight. I mean, it was raining sideways.
Just total commitment from their part. It's happening. It did not happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So then finally they're like, oh gosh, I guess not. So yeah, it's you know, Hattiesburg is a fine place. I've found some good catfish, some good cheesy grits. You know, there's good stuff down here.
That's good.
We're close to the Gulf, you know, nice people. It's great.
Yeah, real good time down there at the Hattiesburg Super Regional. Game 3 coming up tonight, 5 o'clock, Tennessee and Southern Miss. The winner of Game 3 will head to Omaha for the College World Series. Southern Miss takes Game 1, part of which started on Saturday. It was finished yesterday. Tennessee rallies in Game 2, and they win 8-4. Spectacular performance by Dolander yesterday. Chase Burns comes in and closes the door for the Vols yesterday. And Tennessee, Joe, at least in my opinion, you know, we'll see what happens. It's Game 3. They're on the road, all those things. But from a pitching perspective, I think they're in pretty good shape heading into today. And a winner-take-all game in Game 3 for a trip to College World Series, you can't ask for much more than that if you're Tony Vitello in this program.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I think just about anybody probably who has watched this team thought that they were in big, big trouble when it's 4-0. They're kind of – I don't know if I want to say they're melting down, but you know, they're upset and they're going back and forth with the ump, and the ump is, you know, I mean, he is starting to, you know, like make some calls behind the plate where it's like a little showing a little bit of emotion, and it's kind of like, uh-oh, the strike zone just got a lot bigger for Southern Miss pitchers and a lot smaller for Tennessee pitchers. And so they're going back and forth. And then after all this stuff, Chase Dolander makes really like the one bad pitch he made all day, like just bad mistake. 3-run homer, and now you're playing their ace, who right now has you totally tied up. He's a very frustrating pitcher, not really a power pitcher Tanner Hall. He's just a great changeup guy. He's a, you know, like number 90 prospect or whatever. Like, he's going to be drafted prominently here in the next draft. And then to turn around and put six runs on him the next inning, he had never given up more than five in a game in his career. Got six on him in one inning. That's a pretty stunning turnaround for the Vols. And now they appear to be in great shape today, but we know what this sport is.
We do. And an opportunity tonight for Tennessee to punch their ticket to Omaha yet again. We'll see whether or not they're able to do it. Joe Rexroad will be all over it later today at the Hattiesburg Super Regional down there in Southern Miss. I've heard about a little spiciness between some Southern Miss fans and Tennessee fans. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, definitely. So I know that, like, Vitello's parents, there was some yelling back and forth. So Christian Scott's dad got, like, escorted out. So we're watching him kind of, like, get escorted out of the stadium and not without knowing what happened, you know. But, like, they're escorting him out, and he's, like, pumping his fist to the balls. He's like, come on, let's go, you know. And then – so, but then, like, a few minutes later, he comes back into the stadium, and apparently someone had showed the police a video of what actually happened.
Yeah.
And so they brought him back in and appeared to kick out, like, I guess the Southern Miss fans, who they believed initially. But he was able to come back in. So
it's intense, yeah, down there, man.
Yeah, there's just one little section, and it's really mostly just parents and stuff. It's parents and donors, you know, because it's, I mean, like, they have kept out, like, the Vols, you know, just fan on the street who wants to buy a ticket, you know. And yet even, like, that group, like, parents and donors are getting into fights with the Southern Miss fans. So, I mean.
Fall Twitter remains undefeated.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's somewhat intense for sure, and today could be interesting, especially nice and hot. Get some delays. Everybody's annoyed. Everybody's ticked off. You know, imagine the possibilities.
Could be in for a doozy today. We'll see if Tennessee is able to close things out and advance to Omaha for the second time in the past 3 years. Joe, I thought that we were, you know, this time a week ago, maybe headed towards some really good series in the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final. And I'm not convinced that's going to happen. Game 5 tonight between the Nuggets and the Heat. Denver with an opportunity on their home court to close things out and win their first championship tonight. Vegas takes a 3-1 lead against Florida over the weekend as well. And another development from that game, it's pretty clear that Matthew Tkachuk is not healthy. Like, he basically couldn't play in the third period, and they saved him for the last 2 minutes. So his health is in question heading into Game 5. So both Vegas and Denver in very good spots heading into Game 5s, going back home with an opportunity to win a championship. Not a great time for South Florida over the past few games.
Yeah, it's been great runs, but it's the year of, you know, close but no cigar in South Florida, it appears, which is too bad. And I mean, my goodness, like you said, Tkachuk is, you know, basically just – being kept on ice, well, you know what I'm saying,
until
yeah, but my gosh, did he have a look.
He
oh
did.
Incredible. I mean,
I don't now, think
would it have counted, though.
It would not have. I don't think he got it off in time.
Yeah, but man, I mean, just to even lift that a little bit and to find out, you know, but because it did kind of feel like, man, what if they do this for a second straight game? You know, what does that mean? But, you know, the odds are you're not going to do that for a second straight game. So, I don't know. You know, for me personally, I really like the Denver Nuggets. So, I don't know, like, how, I mean, you know, I think basketball fandom at large is fine with them winning. We all wanted a good series.
Sure.
Sorry for your Heat, but, you know.
No one hates the Nuggets.
Yeah, but on the other side, I mean, there can't be too many fan bases who can stomach the idea of the Vegas Golden Knights winning a cup already, but they're about to.
They are. I mean, they're just really good. It's so hard to generate any offense on them, and that's the thing. Like, you know, everybody's going to talk about Aiden Hill, and he's certainly made some big saves. No question about that. I was watching it pretty closely the last couple of games. Like, their defense does such a good job of limiting chances that you've got to be just excellent with what you capitalize on if you're Florida, and it's really hard to do. And then on the other side, like Jokic and Jamal Murray and what they've been able to do, and then Aaron Gordon specifically last game was kind of the breakout performance for the Nuggets. Like they're a really deep team. I mean, the two-man game that they play with Murray and Jokic is really good. But Jokic, first off, rolled his ankle in the last game and then got into some foul trouble. And that was kind of like a perfect storm for the Heat there. And Jokic missed like 7 minutes in the fourth quarter because he was in foul trouble. And I think the Nuggets started that run up 10. And by the time he came back in, they were up 9. So they gave up basically 1 point over that stretch. They've had some guys come up, some really big performances. And the Heat just right now, I mean, Jimmy and Bam Adebayo, they need kind of another guy that they just don't really have right now to combat that team.
Yeah. Well, you need, to have a chance in this series, like you needed Caleb Martin to like stay on an absolute heater and things like that. Like all those guys, Strus, I mean, that's why they're here, right? I mean, they're right here because of Jimmy and those guys, but they're also here because those role players have been ridiculous at times. And so anything short of that, like you just don't have enough.
No question. Game 5 tonight in the NBA Finals. We'll see if Denver goes back home and closes this thing out. Game 5 coming up in Vegas between the Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers tomorrow. So looking forward to that as well. An opportunity for a couple of teams at home to win a championship. So anytime you see teams winning championships at home, that's always fun with the crowd and all those things. But we'll see if the Heat can extend the series tonight and if the Florida Panthers can remain alive down 3-1. I will say, the Panthers have been down 3-1 once before already in the playoffs in the first round against Boston, and they came back then. So we'll see what happens and whether or not they can do that again against the Vegas Golden Knights. We're off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will get into DeAndre Hopkins and his visit this weekend with the Tennessee Titans. How quickly could we see a deal if both sides are interested? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We're live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. DeAndre Hopkins visiting with the Tennessee Titans this weekend. Joey had a nice little Instagram story of a very fancy car that picked him up yesterday with a Photoshop picture of DeAndre Hopkins in a Titans jersey. He had the Chris Stapleton Tennessee Whiskey song attached to it on the post that he had on Instagram yesterday. Looked like DeAndre Hopkins was excited to be here. I have no idea how the visit went or what the Titans and DeAndre Hopkins spoke about. Obviously, we'll see what happens on that front. Hopkins is scheduled to visit with the New England Patriots later this week, and there is no deal as of this second. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but let's say that there is obviously interest on the Titans side of bringing him in and signing him to a deal, and let's say that the visit went well and that DeAndre Hopkins liked what the Titans had to say, liked what the Titans are about. Obviously, he's got a pre-existing relationship with Mike Vrabel. What's the timeline of what you think we could be looking at here with Hopkins and how long this whole saga shakes out, Joe Rex wrote?
Well, first of all, okay, so explain it to me like I'm 5. Okay. I saw something. So he put up an actual picture of what he got picked up in, but then he Photoshopped in?
No. So he was in the back of the car that the Titans picked him up in, and the Titans had like a screen in there. And it was basically like, hey, welcome DeAndre Hopkins. And it was DeAndre Hopkins Photoshopped into a Titans jersey. It's good.
So it was there. They did the. Yeah. Oh, okay.
No, DeAndre Hopkins did not Photoshop himself. Although I'm sure he can if he wants to.
Well, although he doesn't recognize sarcasm on Twitter. I learned that last week.
There is that.
For anybody
that was hilarious.
Yeah. But I mean, to me, if it comes together, that tells me that the Titans are coming right with the money he wants. And maybe that's the case. I'm sticking to my guess, which is he does this visit, he does the Patriots visit, maybe there's more. He's hoping that a bidding situation is percolating here, and I don't think he signs until he gets the kind of money he wants, and which means to me that he's going to be waiting a long time. That's just my guess, but hey, the email on the DeAndre Hopkins signs with the Titans will come out at 9:03 today.
Yes, 9:05 at the latest. That's what we learned with breaking news here on this show. But I mean, I'm really interested to see, like, is this going to be it in terms of the Titans this weekend, and he's scheduled to visit the Patriots later this week? Is that going to be it? Or are there more teams that, as they look around either at their roster or they look around and maybe they talk themselves into DeAndre Hopkins bringing him in for a visit? Like, does the market heat up the way that he wants it to? Or is this going to be, for the moment anyway, like the Titans and the Patriots in a bidding war to see who can offer him the best deal and he ends up that way? Or does he not like the deal that either one of them offer and waits it out until training camp? I mean, there's a bunch of different ways it could play out, but I am really interested to see if anybody else adds their name into the hat beyond the Titans and the Patriots in terms of visit schedule for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, the Browns appear to be one of those teams that Charles Robinson mentioned last week, and maybe there's just it's just not going to work out for them anyway, but at most, I guess, they'd be one of those teams kind of like, well, let's just wait and sit back and see what happens. I mean, I suppose, like, if there's any possibility or any interest at all, if you can get a visit from them, great. But it's also like, if it's like, hey, man, like, we want to give you, like, five, so I don't even know if it's worth coming here, you know?
Right.
How many teams – I mean, there's a lot of teams that if they felt good about DeAndre Hopkins being DeAndre Hopkins could use a DeAndre Hopkins. I think there's a lot of skepticism about that too. So speaking of which, for people who don't know what I was referencing, Easton Freeze put out a video, and it was basically, I don't have it in front of me, but he was like, yeah, he's totally washed. You know, people shouldn't be trying to sign DeAndre Hopkins. Meanwhile, the video he tweeted out with it was like plays from last year where he looked anything but washed.
Right.
Like, it was sarcasm. Like, he's really good. Look at this play. But he, you know, sarcastic tweet. So DeAndre Hopkins took that, I guess, as literally, like he was actually saying he's washed, and he quote tweeted it and said, what did he say?
I can't remember exactly what he's deleted it since. I can't remember exactly
something
what he said.
Oh yeah, I'm so washed like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And apparently he was doing that with a bunch of tweets. He just went on a total Twitter rampage for people who were, which is really interesting. So he's a big name searcher on Twitter, apparently.
I guess so. Hey, I mean, he would not be the first athlete I've seen do that.
He needs a job.
You know? He'd need to take some of that time up.
Yeah.
Get off the Twitter and just go play football.
Yeah, so sarcasm detection, not great. But I will say, you watch that collection of plays.
Look like, good.
Boy, he did look good. Of course, I remember in the 2020 season, you go watch some Julio Jones highlights with Atlanta. Still look like Julio Jones.
He did. I mean, that's what you got to identify if you're the Titans or if you're any other team that's interested, is how much of that does he have left? I mean, look, you can't – we talked about this last week, but you can't convince me that he couldn't really help this team if he's healthy. And that's the main – I mean, that's the main thing. If I'm Vrabel and – Rand Carthon evaluating this, like, what's your confidence level that he stays healthy? And it's a very difficult thing to try to answer, but I mean, that's what the NFL is when you're discussing contracts with some of these guys, is calculated risk. I mean, we talk about it with Christian Fulton, right? Like, trying to calculate the risk of what that next deal would look like with Christian Fulton. When he's on the field, he looks good, but you don't have a whole lot of confidence that he's on the field. David Long Jr., when he's on the field, he's been good. Obviously, the Titans didn't have a whole lot of confidence that he would be on the field. By the way, he got hurt in minicamp for the Miami Dolphins, which we did not talk about last week, but yet another strike against David Long Jr. So, I mean, that's what you've really – what it comes down to me, if you're Vrabel and you're Carthon, there's no question in my mind that he can help this team. Now, how confident are you – that he can stay healthy, and whether it's 17 games or it's 15 games, or if you think that maybe he can give you 8, you don't do it at that point. That's what it comes down to me if you're Carthon and Brable here.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah. I mean, look, whatever the and you know whatever the number would be. I mean, it's just that's just a risk. Like, you're not going to have any certainty, you know, on that, right? I mean, check a guy out and everything's fine and feeling good now, but I mean, you just don't know. And you know, the PED thing, like how does that tie into like the injury situation? And the injury situation last year, how much is that a real injury situation? How much of that was, you know, the season down the tubes and, you know, sick of this stuff? I mean, and then how much does that bother Vrabel? But, you know, if they've got him here, then, you know, I think that tells you right there that it doesn't bother him that much.
Right. I mean, the fact that they're bringing him in and they've gone to this step, I think tells you something about how they think of DeAndre Hopkins. So the timeline of this really is going to be interesting. I mean, I just wonder how patient DeAndre Hopkins is. If he doesn't get the deal that he's looking for with the Titans or the Patriots later this week, you know, what is the patience of level of him look like? What advice is his agent giving him in terms of what to do? Like, is that market going to look better here in a couple of months? Do you wait for maybe some injuries to take place in training camp? I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see, like, if the money's not close to what he's looking for from either one of these teams, how he goes about handling that this week. I mean, if it is, then maybe it's a different discussion. But I think there's a chance that the money may not be what he's looking for.
Yeah, the biggest question is probably, like, has he adjusted his expectations based on some of the what I must assume would be insulting offers to him?
Yeah.
Or is he just like, yeah, well, those teams, you know, that's not going to – I'll find a deal. Because really, what's the rush right now? He's taking these visits, but, I mean, you know, there's some OTAs still. I guess, you know, he could come to an OTA this week with the Titans if he'd like. And then you're just, you know, then you just got basically what, 6 weeks before anything happens.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I guess he could get outfitted with some nice Titans gear in that time, find a place to live, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I mean, it's like you do the visits, have talks, you know, see the other things that matter because there are other things besides the money, and then hope they come with offers you like. But I personally think there's going to be a gap.
Here's a couple of good back-to-back texts for you. James on the text line says, no more injured dudes, with a lot of exclamation points. And then Rob on the text line says, can we stop clarifying with if he's healthy? Everyone understands an NFL player is better when they're healthy. I understand some players have history, but damn, I hear if he's healthy all day, not just with D-Hop. Well, that's how you determine whether or not you're going to sign him there, Rob.
Well, Rob, if you're healthy, you know, like if you're healthy, you're going to text better, you right. know? And so if you're not, you know.
If David Long Jr. was healthy, he'd still be with the Titans, but he wasn't, so he's not.
And if this team didn't lead the league in injuries the last 2 years.
Matter of fact, I think if he's healthy, he should probably be the only thing we talk about with the Tennessee Titans because they can't do that, apparently.
We should have a segment on the show. Like, we have choices yours, weekend winners, and then just if he's healthy.
If he's healthy.
Kind of like that, actually.
Maybe so. See what happens. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. DeAndre Hopkins visiting with the Titans this weekend. What do you think? Should the Titans sign him? Should the Titans pass on him due to his injury history, as James suggests on the text line? We'll take your thoughts on all of it. 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday. Taking your thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins. He visited with the Titans over the weekend. He is scheduled to visit with the New England Patriots later this week. What do you make of the whole thing? The injury history with Hopkins, the age of DeAndre Hopkins, who is 31 years old, but also the flip side, how much he could help this offense and how much he changes the equation if the Titans decide to sign DeAndre Hopkins. Taking your thoughts on all that, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Got a texter that says, all I keep hearing is about Hopkins' injury potential. I don't remember him missing a lot of time other than last year's PED suspension. This from an unnamed texter on the text line. There was the PED part of it last year. Now, he did miss time the year before in 2021. Only played in 10 games out of 17 that year. And then last year had the six-game PED suspension and a couple of games worth of injuries as well. Only played in 9 games last year. So it is kind of multiple years of missing time at this point.
He's played 19 of 34 games the last 2 years. Yes, 6 of them were suspension-related. So, and like we've talked about, maybe the end of last year, I don't know. I don't know exactly what was going on there. But, yeah, he's had injuries. He's had knee and what was the other one? I think two lower body injuries, different lower body injuries. So, and then he's up, he's at the age he is. And again, you know, and look, when there's an injury situation and then there's a PED suspension, you know, obviously a lot of times PEDs, whatever exactly happened there, are related to someone trying to stay healthy, right?
Right.
I mean, it's injury prevention. So, you know, it's not nothing.
It's not nothing. Now, on the flip side of that, like I said, the other question that you've got to ask is, how much does he help your offense? Let's say that you feel okay, at least, about his health situation moving forward. How much of a difference maker could he be in the offense? And we've talked about the Treylon Burks dynamic of this. You know, I feel a lot better about Burks and Hopkins on the outside than I do Burks and Chris Moore on the outside, or Burks and NWI, anything like that. I mean, it's not close to me that way. So I think that the what he could do for your offense, I think, is really, really good. Like, if you're getting, I said it last week, 75% of what he used to be, like 75% of what Hopkins used to be, still pretty darn good, and I think it could help this team a whole lot. And I don't know exactly what it means in terms of the division race. Like, I don't know that I would put the Titans as the AFC South favorite if they landed DeAndre Hopkins over Jacksonville. But I know this, like, it's not an unwinnable division already with the way that their roster is set up. Like, Jacksonville's good. Jacksonville's going to be the favorite. Jacksonville also has a number one schedule, and we'll see how they handle that. But, like, with Hopkins coming in, like, it's absolutely a winnable division for the Tennessee Titans, even if they're not the quote-unquote favorite heading into it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could win it without him. I think their chances get better with him. How much better? I don't know. Like adding DeAndre Hopkins. Well, Rob, if he's healthy,
then
that might be a game or two. You know, that might swing you a win or two next year if he's healthy. But I think I would still give Jacksonville a slight edge. But yeah, like, I think it's pretty close already. If you're going to get a good version of DeAndre Hopkins, then, that absolutely changes things. It makes things a lot better for Treylon Burks, and it just balances the field for you like you aren't really able to do right now.
Josh on the text line says, I say the Titans would be stupid not trying to get him. Sign him to a 2-year deal. # if he's not hurt. This from Josh on the text line. So, Rob, congratulations. You've started something wonderful on the text line here today. Looking forward to that. Going to be a whole lot of talking about if he's healthy.
Oh, man. You've given us a theme for the show today, Rob. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. It's Monday, and we needed some help.
We needed some help, and Rob has come through the clutch here on the
program. I'm in Hattiesburg and miserable. I need your help, Rob.
Is Hattiesburg comparable to Mount Juliet or Hendersonville, like we were told last week on the text line?
That's probably about right.
Oh, good. That's good. Well, lots of chain restaurants to eat from there. Good. Very good stuff.
Absolutely.
No Applebee's.
Well, there is no Applebee's. We did learn that last week, thanks to Mike Wilson.
Yeah. Mike Wilson has been, they are making, like one of the guys the other day when the rain delay was like, hey, everybody, we could order some Applebee's in.
Uber Eats it. Get down here.
There's like a sign in someone's yard, nearest Applebee's. It was like 33 miles in Laurel, Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
Like a big sheet had a big sign about that in someone's yard here. It's amazing.
33 miles, not a bad drive. Just get down the road a little bit, not a bad drive at all. Joe, I was thinking over the weekend, and the likelihood of the scenario I'm about to paint for you happening is very small. But I did allow my mind to wonder. Let's just say, for sake of argument, Titans find a way to come to a deal with Hopkins, and they either outbid New England or they end up with the best deal and Hopkins comes here. like thinking about the best case scenario for this offense, and very rarely do you see a best case scenario for an offense workout, but I was thinking about it. Tannehill's completely healthy, and he's back to just being Ryan Tannehill. Derrick Henry hasn't lost a step from last year. He's still the same guy. The offensive line improvements that you think you've made play out, and maybe you don't have an elite offensive line, but you've got a good, a solid offensive line. And then Hopkins comes in and he plays 14, 15 games for you. Like, to me, that's pretty close to best case scenario of what the Titans offense could be. And then you factor in Okonkwo taking a jump in year two and Treylon Burks taking a jump in year two. Like, how good is that offense, do you think? Like, where, in terms of, as you're looking around the AFC, we know the quarterback conversation, the AFC and some of the offenses the Titans are going to have to defend. How good is that version of the offense that I just laid out to you if the Titans end up landing DeAndre Hopkins and other things that they're banking on to work out actually do work out?
Yeah, well, if the offensive line is actually good, decent, good, pretty good, with all those things, that's a dramatically, I think, better offense than last year. And you know, a lot of this is Tim Kelly. Tim Kelly, back being an OC, he had some very, very productive offenses when he was OC. Deshaun Watson's best season when he was OC. How much of that was him? I mean, if that's a sign of things to come with him, with different players, you know, at his disposal, and that offensive line is pretty good, then yeah, I think it's a much better offense than last year to go with a good, maybe very good, maybe very, very good defense.
Yeah, and then you start to think about, all right, well, what does that mean? Like, if you get your offense from, I mean, let's be honest, the offense last year was horrible, and it just was. I mean, go look at the points they scored. It was horrible last year, and that's the idea if you're an offense, is to put up points. I know groundbreaking news on the show here today. The offense is needed to score points if they can stay healthy.
If you're healthy.
Yes. Really need that thrown out there. But, I mean, if the offense plays out close to the scenario we just painted out, like, I feel good about the defense and the way that they've constructed things there. Also, added to that, I feel really good about Vrabel and Shane Bowen and that comment and that combination of coaching on the defensive side of the ball, too. You know, how good could this team be? I mean, we've talked about the schedule part of it, right? I mean, you're playing the NFC South. You're playing, you know, after that first 7 weeks, you got a schedule that on paper, and I know how dangerous that game is to play, but on paper is pretty easy looking at it for the Titans heading into this year. How good could this team be if this all plays out the way they think it's going to play out? I mean, we were talking a lot of this offseason before the draft about which direction the Titans could go, be that a rebuild, be that, you know, running it back. Obviously, they've drafted Will Levis, but Tannehill is the quarterback right now. You got Derrick Henry coming back. The Kevin Byard situation hopefully is behind them at this point. And if you end up landing DeAndre Hopkins, you know, all of a sudden there's a path there to the offense being good. And if the offense is good, I think the defense is going to be good enough. I like the Titans' chances in the AFC South at that point.
Yeah, well, a few more weeks, we'll have to make space for the Lombardi, you know.
There is a route that they could take.
We talk ourselves into that. But, look, and that's the thing. Speaking of the schedule, I mean, there's this nonsensical Junie argument about Will Levis playing. You know, he may be right that they're not a playoff team and they're not very good, but it's like, you know, he's talking about how great the AFC is. Well, that's true. The AFC is loaded. Let's look at the Titans' schedule. Let's look at who they play week after week after week, because they have the NFC South on their schedule this year to go with their own division, which is cheeks. I mean, that's where it's just hard to look at the Titans and think they're going to be some 5-win team. If they are, well, at some point, play Levis. But I think it's more likely with their schedule, and if some of these things that you're talking about break the right way, that they win a lot more games than most of the NFL expects them to win.
Well, and to that point, I mean, yes, the AFC is loaded on paper. The AFC was loaded on paper last year. There's going to be at least one or two teams that we don't expect much from that come out of nowhere and play really well and look good next year, and there's going to be one or two teams that we think are going to be really good heading into the season, where it doesn't play out that way. I mean, it happens every year. Look no further than the Denver Broncos a year ago. I mean, it happens all the time. And the other part of that, Joe, is, yes, the AFC is probably going to be pretty good, and there's a lot of good quarterback play, and it's going to be loaded. But in terms of the regular season, and you can worry about the playoffs when you get there, but the regular season, like, your job is to worry about your division if you're the Titans. And I don't,
who you play.
I don't view Jacksonville as like some unslayable giant in the AFC South heading into this year. It's not like it's the, you know, 04 Indianapolis Colts heading into this thing.
No. But hey, maybe they'll get Colts like hype. You know, Keith from Bowling Green with a great point. Vrabel is a good coach if he can stay healthy.
Well, got to make sure that he's healthy on the sideline over there. There's no question about that. 615-737-1025. We got more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans / DeAndre Hopkins front. We will do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds baseball tomorrow at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you, talking Titans on this Monday morning, taking your thoughts on our text line. Our friend Uncle Fingus on the text line says, do you think the fact that Deshaun Watson struggled in Cleveland last year is a testament to how good Tim Kelly is? Looks like he's washed without him. I'll hang up and listen. This from Uncle Fingus on the text line.
Might be taking a little bit of a leap there. I think without watching a ton of Cleveland Browns football last year, sadly, I would guess that there was some rust and all the stuff that has happened around Deshaun Watson, created by Deshaun Watson, but you think about that entire situation, and I'm not shocked it wasn't just come right out and you're an all-pro again. I don't know that you want to sit there and say, like, Tim Kelly is the sole reason Deshaun Watson was great in Houston or even the primary, right? Yeah. I just think you might be making a little bit of a leap there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Watson moving forward. But I also think you can't give Tim Kelly no credit for that. I mean, it's the best numbers of his career were with Kelly as OC. So clearly Kelly built an offense that accentuated what he does well. And that's what you're supposed to do. He has a very different kind of quarterback here and different. I mean, he has a great running back here, didn't have it there. Totally different situation. If you're a good OC, you adjust to what you have. He clearly had some good stuff going there to help Deshaun Watson. But I think, it's players, right? It's players. It's the Jimmys and Joes.
It is. Now, I will say, obviously, the last year that Deshaun Watson actually played and was on the field in Houston with Tim Kelly as the offensive coordinator, he looked really good. He was playing really well out there. And I would add to that, I know we joke about my guy Davis Mills a lot, but when he took over that year and as he got through the year, I mean, Davis Mills had some pretty good games, including against the Tennessee Titans. And we've talked with John McClain about that and what that reflects on, on Tim Kelly as well before. So I mean, there are things you can point to with Tim Kelly that I think are cause for optimism if you're a Titans fan. No question about it.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, Davis Mills, the football he played with Kelly as OC was much better than the football he played last year. It's – yeah, we're gonna really find out here, in a different place. And Tim Kelly was. It's also worth pointing out. I mean, Tim Kelly was on the staff last year.
Yep.
So I guess if you want to, blame anybody who was part of the Titans offense last year, you can. He was passing game coordinator. They didn't have much of a passing game. Couldn't block. Couldn't get open. You can chicken and egg the coaching playing thing, good, bad, however you want to do it. Going back to Uncle Fingus, I think that's probably a little bit of a leap you're making there.
I got a text that says, I think the offense takes a jump simply because not having predictable Todd Downing calling plays. That's from a texter on the text line. We've heard that word used a lot, right? Predictable with the Titans. And we were talking with someone last week, I don't even remember who it was, who talked about the Titans maybe being a little bit more unpredictable this year. Do you remember who that was? I can't remember anything we talked about last week.
Wait, what now?
We talked with somebody last week about, and they said the Titans would not be as predictable this year. It doesn't matter. Anyway.
Was it Herndon?
I think it was Herndon. That's exactly who it was. So there you go. Mike Herndon last week from PaulKarski.com.
You're not allowed to be old brain like me. That's my role on the show.
I know. I've just totally taken over your spot here on this program. But how big of a problem do you think that actually was, and how much of a focus do you think that currently is for the Tennessee Titans to be less predictable on offense heading into this year?
I do think that, you know, I think some of the quote predictability, I mean, it's like, again, it's like, you know, when Derrick Henry gets stuffed, like, God, that was so predictable. And then when you try to some goofy play, it's like, oh, just give the ball to Derrick Henry. You know,
there's
like,
that.
Like, whatever doesn't work is the bad thing. It was bad. But that said, I think the predictability with Downing at times was in personnel groupings. Like, now, granted, you know, like Cody Hollister would come into some of those packages, you know, and they're running the football. Now, granted, there were some times, I mean, Hollister had like a couple big plays because they tried to be unpredictable out of those formations. So it wasn't like 100%, but I did think that there were some personnel groupings that were a little bit of a tell at times. Now, look, I also think some of that is like last year, Chigakonkwo, for example, you know, Chigakonkwo as a rookie. You know, and this kind of happened before at times with Ferser. You know, it's like you're kind of telling us what you're doing if he's on the field. This year, if Chigakonkwo is taking a step as an overall player, as an inline player at that position, it's going to be easier to be unpredictable. I will also say that based on what we saw in minicamp, I like the variety and some of the different things they're doing with people, and I think that will be an emphasis to not tip your hand as much as they did under Downing.
So let me ask you this, because we'll see if the Hopkins situation plays out and if it works out for the Titans and if he ends up there and whatnot. But I think the fact that they're interested in him is interesting to me, because that tells me that they believe, obviously, that they need some help at wide receiver. So let's say it doesn't work out with Hopkins and he ends up signing in New England or wherever else, and it's not with the Titans. Do you expect the Titans to keep looking around to add help at the wide receiver position? I mean, does interest in DeAndre Hopkins, I guess a better way to ask it, does interest in him tell you that the Titans know that their receiving core right now is not good enough?
Well, I think it has to say that to some extent, right? I suppose they could, answer that by saying, no, we are very happy with the room. This is just a rare opportunity. How could you not go after a guy like D-Hop? No, but yeah, I mean, I think you have to look at it like it's an acknowledgement that they need help. To answer your first question, though, I don't necessarily expect that, because there's just not much out there. You know, you could go out there and get, I mean, Chris Moore is that, right?
Yep.
Chris Moore is a guy who's done some stuff and he can come in and help. I mean, there's just so little out there, unless we're talking about a trade. And I don't know what that would be at this point. But so I think that this is kind of more of a special situation. But yeah, I don't see how you could look at it and not take it as some acknowledgement, which is good, because I think they needed to acknowledge what we all see.
I would agree. Now, that also makes me think about the contract. Like, if this is, because I agree with you, I look at what else is out there right now, and I don't know that any of it's really worth pursuing on the Titans front, which is why the Hopkins thing is really interesting to me. I also think maybe because of that, if I'm Amy Adams Strunk or if I'm Vrabel and Carthon looking at a contract part of this, I'm maybe willing to stretch that dollar a little further because of it. And obviously it wouldn't tell Hopkins this, but behind closed doors, when you're talking about what it's going to take to land him, me personally, spending money that doesn't belong to me, I'm a little bit more willing to stretch that dollar just based on the situation right now. Like, you're obviously still quote unquote going for it this year. If Ryan Tannehill is your quarterback and Derrick Henry's your running back, and you do still have Kevin Byard on the roster. So because of all that, I don't know why you wouldn't maximize your shot this year, if that makes any sense. I'm more willing to stretch the dollar that way.
No, I agree. I mean, this team could look very different with a second-year quarterback and a totally different makeup really on offense if 22 isn't there. And I mean, it could be like, it's hard to look at next year and not think that there's some step back unless things happen that we don't expect. And the projections are wrong about where they're going with the roster. So this is kind of, and again, I don't know with Byard. I mean, TD said last week he thinks, you know, Byard's here next year, and that may be true, but it's possible. It's possible this is last year too. And if that's the case, this is kind of like a last run. So if that's how you look at it, then yeah, you got a chance to add someone who could actually really make a difference at your weakest position. Then I think maybe you get that checkbook out.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue to discuss the DeAndre Hopkins situation and the Titans coming up a little bit later in the show. Corey Curtis will join us at 8 o'clock, so we'll get into all that with him as well. Coming up next, there is a player in the National Hockey League who is a 40-goal scorer who may be available and who may also be interested in the Nashville Predators. We'll get into that coming up next. Should the Predators target this player via trade this offseason? More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.